blessed. Hope you're enjoying the beautiful weather. It's good to be here with you. Growing in the word of the Lord. Amen. All right. For the order of my steps, we are doing a term that you heard in the word, which is important for us to know, because you'd be surprised how many people are confused on why the Old Testament was done one way and the New Testament is done another. You have many thinking God changed his mind, maybe thought he made a mistake and said, you know what, that way was old. We're going to try something new because that messed up. And that wasn't the case. You know, our God is consistent. He knows exactly what he's doing. It's all in his plan. But we have to understand what was done in the Old Testament, why we don't do it today that way, and what's being done now. We have to understand that. And this is why understanding is so important for us. This is why we should be in our word. We don't just read our Bible for inspiration. We read our Bible for understanding and knowledge. Amen. That's what makes it so important. So we're going to get an understanding, hopefully, today of what it means for things to be a shadow of things to come. First of all, old and new, if you turn your bulletins over, have always been about Christ. The old and new have always been about Christ. From the very beginning, starting from Adam and Eve, it's been about Christ. It says in Colossians 2, 8 through 15, see to it. Now, I'm going to stop there because he's saying this is something I have to make up my mind that I am doing. You have to make up your mind that you are doing. I know sometimes we think as Christians it just happens. No, Christianity is a responsibility. He empowers me to do it. Now I have no excuse. I must now do it. And that's why he starts off saying, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies, which is a very common practice today. We'll hear something we like and we're gone. We don't go, hey, does the Bible say that? We go, oh, I like that. And we're gone. And he's telling you, make sure what you're getting is solid. Right? I know a lot that'll preach and say things, and you'll hear it in an initial hearing. It sounds wise. It sounds good. It even feels good. It may even look like it works. But God never said it. And overall, it's going to fail you. That's why he's saying, to no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies, which depends on human traditions. That would answer it right there. And the basic principles of the world rather than on Christ. One big thing that would bring most or all Christians together if we would base everything we do on Christ. Unfortunately, we don't. We do it on outlook. We do it on feeling. We do it on what we like. All this stuff comes into play instead of, did Christ say that? Amen? Okay, did Christ say that? Show me that in the Bible. It says, for in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Christ is God. Do y'all get that? Christ is God. So the Old Testament is showing, New Testament is displaying God because that's Christ who is the Word. But that includes the Old Testament as well. And we'll talk about that. It says, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with a circumcision done by Christ. He just showed you there in that setting one of those old things that was done that represented something to come. Did y'all catch that? Circumcision was done for the Israelites, to the males, of course, in order for them to display, you are my people. So it was a physical thing done. Now, it represented a spiritual thing, which is the circumcision of our hearts. Do you understand that? You remove that outer fleshly layer and you want the spiritual layer. So it was meant to be for our hearts. That's why it says, in him you are also circumcised in putting off the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by hands of men, but the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. So you are no longer living for you. You are now 100% living for him. The old way that was taken off by Christ was you. The new way is him. Is everybody getting that? Okay, very important that you get that. Okay, that circumcision must be done by every Christian. That's why it's hard for a person to call themselves a Christian and still live the old way. You can't keep living for the emotions, for the culture, for the ignorance and for the intellect without having the full spirituality of Christ. It'll be 100% for him. It says in verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations. Now, right there, that even shows why we don't have to follow it in the written way. We don't follow, we're no longer under the Old Testament. We're no longer under the law. It canceled it out. Because remember, the law had a policy, you do this or this will happen. You do this or this will happen. Okay? And he said he took all that away, not for us now run around and do whatever you want, but for us now to be empowered to spiritually live the way we're supposed to. Does that make sense? The Old Testament was based on a man living, trying to be righteous on his own. Failed miserably. New Testament is us allowing Christ to live through us. Do y'all get that? And where we mess up today is we're still trying to do it on our own. And this is why we struggle sometimes with Christ. It says, that was against us and stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. And how did he cancel them? He came down here and was 100% like us. Okay? So him being like us, he went through everything without sinning. And the biggest way he did that, because he was like us, he made it very clear. He says, I do everything my Father tells me. Do y'all get that? Basically, and that's what we've always had access to if we would have done that. I do everything my Father tells me. Where we blow it today is we do some of what God says, but this other stuff, it seems like I know what I'm doing here. Or this other stuff, I really feel. Do y'all see how this goes? And we mess up because it feels and seems good, but not what he says. Does that make sense? Even parenting today, we allow our kids in many cases to get away with stuff. Why? Because they'll ask us stuff, and because they really want it, we'll let them have it. And we're not training them in God because it's not about what they want. It's about what he says. That's why when they get older, I'm not going to church. Somebody telling me what to do. They want to do what they want to do because we raised them that way. However, when we raise them in the authority of God and give them that understanding as parents, you tell them, what did I say? You give them that structure and that balance. So this is where all this comes in. So we notice the Old Testament was setting it up to show us the things that were going to happen. That's why it's called a shadow of the things to come. Now, don't get caught up in the practices of old, but understand what they represent. Okay, so you have a lot of groups, and I think it's a nice gesture. They'll go through things in which they'll show or still practice things to show people what they did in the Old Testament. Some will do it almost religiously. They'll still do certain things, not eat certain things, practice in certain ways that they did in the old, and they missed it. I don't know if you remember when he said to the Galatians, when they wanted to go back to circumcision and doing stuff that they did of old, because, you know, the circumcision group was telling them that, he says, if you do that, you have not accepted Christ. You missed the whole picture. So it shows us here in Colossians 2, 16 through 17, therefore, do not let anyone judge you, watch this, by what you eat or drink or with regards to religious festivals, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. Watch, and here's why. These are a shadow of the things that were to come, but here's the answer. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Did y'all catch that? I'm going to show you it again. He says, these are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Now, I know we all know what a shadow is. You see somebody's shadow. It was, what grade? It was maybe sixth grade. We went to some ceremony when we got out of there and we were going. No, it was eighth grade before we went to high school. And they made silhouettes of everybody. You know, they took your shadow and they put your picture and you got to guess who that was. But it was not me. It was a shadow or a image of me. But it was not me. And that's what he's saying. The Old Testament gave that image of Christ coming and everything that's in Christ. That's all it was. But it was very important for them to see that image. But all they had was the physical form to work off of. Okay? That's why he says the reality. We now have the reality. Why am I still dealing with the image then? Why would I need to go sacrifice an animal? We already had the perfect sacrifice done. Do y'all get this? We're going to read about that. Understand this. All the Old Testament was giving us a flashlight or something pointing to him coming and what he's doing now. Amen? The law pointed towards Christ. So here's the first thing. Hebrews 10, 1 to 4. The law is only a shadow, there's that word again, of the good things that are coming. not the realities themselves. Okay, so he's saying if you're still following the law based on the law, you're still stuck and you missed it. That's a person saying, I'm going to be righteous on my own, and they try to follow the law on themselves. And he already let you know all have fallen short of the glory of God. He's letting you know you can't do it. That's what we understood. There are no good people. Do y'all get that? Now, why is that so important? Because then it makes me go, like Paul, what a wretched man I am. Who will save me from me? Everybody with me? Okay. So it shows us this. It says the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifice repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilt for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Do y'all catch that? So that representation was there to remind us we need something to die, because remember, the wages of sin is death. Did y'all catch that? Okay, so all that's put out there, so something had to die, but animals, he's saying, could not be in place. They were a substitute to remind me every year, yeah, you're sinning. Yeah, you messed up. Do you understand that? Okay, it's a reminder. But the reality, once again, is in Christ. He did it for us, and we live through him. That's why I die, in order for him to live. That's what should have happened, Christians. We should have allowed him to. But we still included ourselves, thinking we can do what we want. Look at another one. Sacrifices and offerings were in place to display what was slash is coming in Christ. Hebrews 10, 8 through 14. First, he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire. Did y'all catch that? Okay. Now, the reason why that's important that you catch that is because other religions, when they give sacrifices, they do it because they say the gods want it. All right, and that's where they're distorted and has nothing to do with ours, okay? Only reason sacrifices existed in the Old Testament, he didn't want that. What he wanted was righteousness. What he wanted was obedience. But through his mercy, he said, but what should have happened, because we didn't and we were not obedient and we were not righteous, we had to die. But through his mercy, he gave us a temporary fix in the place. Does that make sense? He didn't desire that. He desired us to do what we were supposed to do. That's why he says he did not desire them. He says you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them. It's not something he was looking forward to. Oh, man, they're giving me a sacrifice. He's like, okay, they're giving me the sacrifice because in place of what they should be doing. It goes on, although the law required them to be made, then he said, here I am. I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So not only was he the sacrifice, he also represented the high priest that gave the sacrifice, and he also represented us giving the sacrifice. Did y'all catch that? Okay? So when you say I accept Christ as my personal sacrifice, you're saying he did all of that for me. And to add one more, and you're going to see how we fit into this, he also represented the temple that the sacrifice was given. So he covered all of those things, so, which made them all perfect. Y'all see that? If you go back in the Old Testament, you'll see that all of that had to be done perfectly. And of course, they failed many cases and people died and things happened. But you had to have all of that covered. You had to be just right. The high priest had to be just right. Your sacrifice better been just right. And the place you're giving it better be just right. All of that had to be covered. And what covered it? Christ. Y'all get this? The sacrifice of the body of Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Remember, they were just kind of covering over. All right. When they did them in the old days, they were just showing a representation of this is just a substitute for the time being until the perfect one comes. It says, but when the priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And that priest they're talking about is Christ. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstools, because by one sacrifice he made perfect forever those who are being made holy. So those who have truly accepted his sacrifice. Now, here's the thing. I can stop here real quick because a lot of times how we tell people you're saved is say these words, now you're saved. Okay, and that's a whole nother study and it's much more into it. But understand, when a person just says it, it's meaningless if you're not practicing it. Okay, it's the thing of living it. It's a change of lifestyle. Now, we have a lot of people walking around here today. They have nothing to do with church, really nothing to do with the Bible, or even very little to do with church, very little with the Bible. Oh, but I'm a Christian. And they think they're going. And I have to say that because what's dangerous is if as long as I think I'm going, I'm not going to make any changes and no adjustments until that day when I go, Lord, Lord. And he goes, I never knew you. You remember the verse? He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Who did he say will? Only he who does the will of our Father. Did y'all get that? All right. And when you understand it, it's a practice. He's not doing it on works. He's doing it on acceptance. When I accept salvation, I'm accepting him. I'm accepting his sacrifice for me to cleanse me of my sins. His sacrifice in order to empower me not to sin. Do y'all get this? All right. His empowerment to make me holy. That means I have to get out of the way and it must be him. Romans, Colossians, Corinthians all show, and I think even Philippians give answers on where he constantly say, I die, Christ lives. That's what we have not been doing. We'll go, Christ lives along with me living. And then we're sitting there giving our advice along with the Bible. And now we're confused. Why? Because we keep trying to do it. He didn't ask. It's 100% him. Do exactly what my Father tells me. Y'all got that? Okay, so you see how that process works. It's us completely leaning and depending on him. Look at this, something even simple of the tabernacle and the curtains. It says the curtains to the tabernacle and the high priest represented Christ. Just like I was showing you to make it clear, Hebrews 10:19-22 shows this. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. Did y'all catch that? Okay, so when they used to go into there and their sacrifice were offered, well, now we enter Christ. Do you understand? He is that temple, just like we are the temple because we are the body of Christ also. It says, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Amen. It's a powerful thing now that we have something that totally cleanses us, totally empowers us. We don't have to depend on the man-made things that are flawed. Amen. Completely depending on him. We also see clean and unclean animals represent clean and unclean. Where's the animals part? No. What that did is it gave us a picture of how cleanliness, true godly cleanliness, and non-godliness works in the world. Watch this. It shows us, first of all, in Acts 10:9-15, it says, about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open and something like a large sheet began being let down to the earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Now, for those who don't notice the significance of this, if you go back in Leviticus and where it goes over to clean and unclean foods, and you'll have people that make clean and unclean diets today. That's great if you want to do it for a diet, but that's not what it was about. It was never about food. Do you get this? Once again, if you miss it, you're going to, once again, being religious, you'll try to do something and you'll miss the whole point. And that's what he's showing here. When he showed the picture, there was a mixture of clean and unclean animals. There were animals that Israelites were never to eat. Do you understand? And then there was animals that they were responsible for eating. In fact, even before the law, this concept existed. People don't realize. If you ever go back to Noah's Ark, you know, they sing a song, one in came the animals, two by two. What people don't realize is only the unclean animals went in two by two. The clean animals went in sevens. You get that? Go back and read it if you want a chance. Look at that. Once again, the Bible should. Why? Because the clean represented something and the unclean represented something. Okay? So why did he do that? Why? And you'll see there's closeness in a lot of these animals. You know what I mean? The cloven hooves, the chewing of the cud, a lot of stuff in which, well, if they do this but don't do this, then they're clean. And you're like, wait, what's going on? And there's a reason for that. Let's keep going. It contains four Read verse 12 again. It contains all kinds of four-footed animals, and as well as reptiles on the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely, Lord," Peter replied, "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." So he's being obedient, but watch what he says. The voice spoke to him second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." Keep that, very important, okay? So what it's showing is, what makes things clean? God. Y'all get it? See, today, we still have our opinions and feelings and all this other stuff, and we tend to think, if we think it's clean, then it's clean. That's come we'll get mad at different people for certain things in certain ways because they don't fit our religious attitude. You know, I don't watch TV, I don't listen to this, I don't watch that, I don't go there, I don't do this, because we have our own self-righteousness. But it's God that makes things clean. Do you understand that? My job is to follow God. So now if I follow God, then I am very careful to make sure I'm following what he says is clean. That's what he's showing us here. So it didn't just represent animals, and it's not about animals, and it's not about the food. It's about in life, there are going to be some things, while one minute it can be clean, you can easily make it unclean. And how will I know the difference? God. Did y'all catch that? The difference will be shown in him. I must check him, not what I think. This is what, once again, get me out the picture. Too many times I have people come to me with their own opinion or their own definition of cleanliness and uncleanliness, right? And what becomes dangerous is it's warped. On the surface, and that's why the one verse says it has an image or the image of wisdom, on the surface it looks exactly right. I've had parents come in and say, this is what we do. This is what we do and do this. I have couples come in and tell me that. I have people who are just Christians telling me this. And it all sounds good, but if it's not in God's word, it's warped. It's distorted. It's dangerous. Okay? Because only God makes things clean. And Peter showed this in Acts 10, 34 through 35. It says, when Peter began to speak, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. So he's making clear what was done in the Old Testament wasn't a form of favoritism. It was a ministry pointing towards cleanliness and uncleanness. It says, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. Now, why did I put that second part in bold? Because that's what he's letting me know, letting you know, the difference between our cleanliness, what makes us clean and unclean. He says he accepts every man, not period. He accepts every man who fear him and do what is right. Did you catch that? In other words, for me to say I accepted Christ, there has to be a reverence and an acceptance to do what he's telling. A life change. Not just I accept Christ as my personal savior, I'm just saying that and I go on and live my life the way I want to. No, he says the ones he accepts are those who fear him and do what is right. So you're going to meet men that are going to look good. They sometimes do what's good things. Remember we did that only God is what makes good deeds good? When we did that, so if anything done without God is evil. Remember even in Romans 14, it says anything done without faith is sin. So if I went and helped somebody who really needed my help, but it wasn't based on God, I'm sinning? Answer yes. To the human mind, that's foolish. To the flesh and the world, I don't get that. To the spiritual, amen. Y'all see the difference? Okay? And that's why some people call the word foolishness, because they don't get it. He says, only him who fears him and does what is right. Let's look at the last thing here. And there's many of these. I just gave a couple of them out the word. The Sabbath is an image of rest in Christ. Now, for those, once again, who don't know, the original Sabbath was, think of it, sundown Friday into sunset Saturday. Okay, so that time span in between was the Sabbath. And even out of the Ten Commandments, I think nobody here would complain. Nine of them, I have no problem. I agree. I'll do those. But that's this other one. How come this one we're not doing? Well, in reality, and if you ever want, I think I did it. I can't remember if I did it this year or not. The Ten Commandments today, we are still doing them, but we're doing them spiritually. Okay, if you ever get a chance, look at that. The one everybody has to look at is this one particular one on this day. So it shows us in the New Testament how it works. First of all, Hebrews 4, 1 through 11 says, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands. Okay, so he's saying the same thing about entering his rest still stands. Let us be careful that none of you be found to fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Now, there's two things the Sabbath represented. It represented that certain day, we know that time I was telling you, and we'll call it Saturday, and it was that day that everybody had to worship that represented his rest. So you had to rest. He gave how that was supposed to work. But it also represented the land that the Israelites were heading to. That land of milk and honey was the Sabbath. That was their rest. Do you understand that? And he's saying not to enter means there you have to do it in the right way. So once again, they had to do it physically, and there's a spiritual way we have to do it today. He goes on to say, now we who have believed, well, let me stop there because he even showed, because he's saying they had the gospel preached to them just like we did. And they said, but the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Now, when I combine the word with faith, you see me doing it. You can come in here, read, say amen. You don't do it, no faith. Did y'all get that? Okay, you can say you have faith all you want, read your Bible, never do it, no faith. You get this? And that's what he's saying. The Israelites heard him, and he would go over and over again, I'm going to be your God, you're going to be my people. They're like, we're going to be your people, you're going to be our God, we're going to do everything you say. And then when it goes there, oh, we're not doing that. And remember that last test they got, sent spies in. Spies came back and said, yeah, yeah, everything else he said is in there, but there's giants. And the majority, be careful. And this is where sometimes majority comes in. We think majority, well, everybody else thought it. Isn't how we do it? The majority. There was 12 spies sent, and only two of them said, God said he's going to give us the land. The other was, no, there's giants there. What are you trying to do, kill us? I'm not going. And the crowd listened to the majority, not listening to God. God's anger wasn't because he was just a mean, angry God. It was, I went through this whole entire time showing you me to trust in me, and you guys are still displaying you don't trust me. How many of us are doing that same thing today? We read it, and we say amen, and we say praise God, and then we go out there, and you're doing something way in left field. Why are you doing this? Well, it made me feel better. Well, it seemed like the right thing. Wait, what did the Bible say? Yeah, but I thought, what I felt. Y'all see the problem? He says they didn't combine it with faith. It goes on to say, verse 3, now we who have believed entered that rest just as God has said. So I declare on my oath and my anger, they shall never enter my rest. So he said those people would not go into the land. That's why they were out there for the rest of the 30-something years. We think he just had them roaming for 40 years and this thing happened at the end of 40. It was actually 2 years. And then the reason why they had to be in the desert for the rest of the time, those people who failed all had to die off. Okay. All right. Other than Caleb and Joshua, all the rest of them had to die off. And after and so that time, he said, they'll never enter my rest. He was like, they blew it. They did this on their own. He said, I declare my anger. They shall never enter my rest. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. He says, for somewhere he had spoken about the seventh day in these words. Did y'all catch that? So he's saying, I'm not just talking about the place. I'm talking about that day, the seventh day. And on the seventh day, God rested from all his work. And again, in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest. And those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. That's talking about us. He's saying there's going to still be some that are going to hear this word and still not do it. Did y'all get it? There's still going to be some today who are going to fully get it, life living totally different. And some are taught that way, and that's the bad part about it. He says, going on, it still remains that some will enter that rest and who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today. See, the difference is there was this one day which represented today. What's tomorrow going to be? Today. When we get to next week, what day will it be? So we are in an eternal Sabbath. Do y'all get this? Okay? And that's what the difference is. And this is why you can't, the church doesn't necessarily, he did not one day make Sunday. That's another thing you'll hear, the new Sabbath day. No, that's not in the word. Okay? You'll see a thing where they picked up the offering on the first day of the week. And there's certain times they'll meet the first day of the week. But nowhere do you see in the Bible that says that he made Sunday the new Sabbath. And we did that. And it's okay. And it's good to worship on a Sunday. It's good to worship on Monday. It's good to worship on a... You can pick any day. Because as long as it's today. He says he called a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. He says, for if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. So even those who finally made it into that Sabbath, he's saying they never got eternal rest because of what already happened. They already blew it. So God was pointing towards a perfect Sabbath rest. It goes on. It says, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also enters from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. That's to us. Now we need to enter that rest, making every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by the following the example of the disobedience. Do y'all see how that kind of brings it all together? Okay, it's not a day. We are in the day. Okay, that day, which was the Sabbath day, represented the day, which we are in today. Do y'all get this? Just like it was the one group of people, which was the Israelites, is now for all people, Jews and Gentiles. So it's the whole entire thing spiritually, which was we represented physically. Amen? So showing you that's the importance of the Old Testament. It's not something that we're doing because he was doing something one way and said, you know what, I changed my mind, I want to do something new and did something new this way. No, he was doing the same thing, but he had to give to a physical people physical ways of doing the spirituality. Now we are a spiritual people, and he's given us the real way because the reality is found in him. Let's break it down. The shadow of sacrifices, the reality is sacrifice of Christ. The shadow of holy days, we didn't see this one, and that would take a whole sermon in itself. If you look back, there were seven holy days. Any holiday you see today, not in the Bible. Enjoy it, but not in the Bible. They're not biblical. They're man-made. Okay. And we made them and we enjoy them and all that. But there was only true seven of them. You know what I mean? See the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. I can go down the list of Tabernacles and Day of Atonement. All of those were there and they represented. And the reason why you don't see us practicing those today is because it's here. Does that make sense? Christ is here. Can you do them? Of course you can. But they're not held as religious things. You know, sometimes people take the object and we start worshiping the object instead of honoring God. Y'all get this? We make the holiday of Christmas more sacred than we do Christ. People say, put Christ back in Christmas. But you have no idea what you're talking about, do you? Because you're not putting Christ in the rest of your life. So why are you arguing about people saying Christmas or Xmas or whatever? God is not worried about all that. We do that. I understand we do that because we like to be religious instead of godly. Anointing with oil is anointing of the Holy Spirit. You have some that'll go around oiling everything up. That's fine. Enjoy yourself. In the New Testament, you only see the one spot where it talks about anointing with oil. And you may go, why? Because we have the Holy Spirit. The oil represented the Holy Spirit, which they, even the Holy Spirit existed, we have now have full access to the Holy Spirit now. So now the anointing we have now is the Holy Spirit. But we like to go through those religious, you know, movements where I went through this oil and I made this oil, did this. That was made for that time. But now we have God's Holy Spirit. Do y'all get this? The temple is now our bodies because we are the body of Christ, right? The Bible tells you, don't you know that you are your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is God. It was the same thing. It had God in that temple. Clean and unclean animals represents clean and unclean, especially people. Okay, we're showing us the difference that God makes them clean and unclean. So when I want to know if something's clean, I check with God. I don't check with you. I don't check with me. I don't want your opinion of what you say is good. Because you have people today who go, no, I don't see anything wrong with that. How many times have you heard a Christian say, I don't see anything wrong with something? And you'll go in the Bible and go, but it's sitting right there. And you'll follow the person. Explain that to me. When I clearly see something in God's word, he said something, you'll get some self-righteous Christian going, no, I don't see anything wrong with that. And you'll follow the person. And you think God's going to go, oh, that's great. He's an honorable man. Remember what happened to Moses when he didn't hold God that way. You know, keep that in mind. And also the Sabbath represents salvation. That rest that they were headed to, which was the promised land, ours is salvation. He says, come ye who are weary, I will give you rest. If you're a Christian, you will truly have rest. The reason why we're so stressed out and frustrated today is because we have not accepted or entered that rest. There's a whole lot more that you can go through and see how the Old Testament really pointed towards Christ, and you'll see it's not a difference from Christ. You understand that? It's pointing towards something that we're doing now. In this little bit of time, I did a complete study, but it's something that if you truly did a study, you'll see so many other things. And I encourage you to follow and to look at that. But let's make sure that we don't mix the two up as being separate and understand it's a plan that started way before the beginning. Amen? All right. As the word says, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, we take this time out to talk to our Father. It's just an example of how we should take time out throughout the day, continually talking to our Father. For those of you who would like somebody to pray with you, make sure you see myself or one of the other deacons or one of the deacons after services. We'll be more than glad to pray with you. And as you should always do along with your children and as an example to your children, is pray continually. Amen. Prayer and meditation. Good. We don't have to worry. We have a God we can depend on and look to. Amen.